Hello and welcome to the CISS podcast. This is the Point series by China Forum. In this series, we will have one-on-one discussions with top-level officials, diplomats, well-known entrepreneurs, academics, and media experts from both China and abroad to hear their fresh insights on important global issues.
Hello and welcome to the CISS podcast, the Point series. I'm Sun Chenghao with CISS Tsinghua University. As China and Europe commemorate 50 years of diplomatic relations, this enduring partnership has navigated profound geopolitical shifts and emerged as a cornerstone of global stability. Our guest today is Dr. Cui Hongjian, Professor of the Academy of Regional and Global Governance at Beijing Foreign Studies University. He joins us to reflect on lessons learned from 5 decades of China-European engagement, analyze current challenges, and explore a shared vision for future cooperation amid evolving global dynamics. Welcome, Professor Cui.
Hi.
And we know that this year marks the 50th anniversary of diplomatic ties between China and the EU. Today, China and the EU are each other's second largest trading partner, and by 2024, bilateral trade volume will have increased by more than 330 times compared to 50 years ago. There is also cooperation in different fields between the two sides. So, Professor Cui, what do you think are the useful lessons from the 50 years of growing bilateral relations between China and the EU?
It's a long story, I mean, for this China-EU relations for past 50 years. But if we try to find some very useful experience for this bilateral relations, I would like to point out not only maybe just one, maybe we have some useful experience to support these relations between two sides. Firstly, as we know, both China and Europe were very different, especially the European Union is not a nation state, and the European Union tried to collect different understanding, different interests among member states. And also, at the very beginning, European Union is not a purely, I mean, political organization. So we can, find out the value of the cooperation between difference. I think it's a very, very useful experience for us. So to find out the difference, but then to respect with each other, and then to develop a kind of complementary cooperation, I think it's a very, very big showcase for the past 50 years. Another, I think, very important experience is in the most time of the relations between China and the European Union, pragmatic cooperation, especially in economic trade and investment, is very, very useful for both to us. As we know now, both China and the European Union, they are major economies in the world. So they take the big responsibility to support the continuing development for the world economy. And even now they shared some more common grounds to support the multilateral cooperation in economic and the trade and some other areas. So finally, I think to take aside the difference and to look for some more commonalities and to reach some more consensus, I think it could be not only for the past 5 decades, I think for the future, it could be a very important experience, and even it's a kind of a common value should be shared by both two sides.
Right. You mentioned complementary and pragmatic cooperation. I think they are all very valuable experience we should learn and draw from the past 5 decades of China-EU relations. And we also noticed that recently the Chinese president was invited to speak with the leaders of France and Germany on May 22nd and 23rd respectively. So what do you think about China's bilateral relations with the core countries of the EU? And how will this affect the development of China-EU relations?
Frankly, to deal with the European Union is not an easy thing for every major players in the world. I think China is facing the same questions when it's trying to promote relations with the European Union. As we mentioned, that the European Union is not a nation state. and it has a regulation system and try to find out a balance between the position or posture of member states and the so-called united stance for European Union. So I think it's for China, it's also very, very important understanding that China need to try to find out a balancing point between its relations with European Union institutions and also the member states. Frankly, once China tried to promote a pragmatic cooperation, it should pay some more attention and invest a lot to develop its relations with member states, especially those major member states like we mentioned, that France, Germany, Italy, or some other. Because if we look at the bilateral trade volume, always it's a bilateral trade between China and the member states of the European Union. And also, of course, at the same time, China has to follow the process of the European Union, try to find out some more common stance from member states. So I think it could be a moving balancing for China to keep a policy useful, not only to promote mutual trust between China and the European Union institution, but of course, China need to take some more effort to find out some more common interests with member states. But of course, as we know, that there has been a criticism from European side, especially from European Union institution, criticize China is trying to take a kind of a dividing and a ruling policy towards the European Union. But I think it's a kind of unjust criticism against China, because China have to have its policy on the basis of a pragmatic way. Yes, I think China respect the value of European integration. China take the importance of its cooperation with the European Union, but which doesn't mean that China should stop its relations with member states.
Okay, thank you. And apart from those very bright sides of China-EU relations, one thing we could not ignore is that there are still structural challenges in China-EU relations, such as the European perception of China, de-risking and reducing dependency policies, and the challenges in China-EU industry relations. So how do you think China and the EU can better find a balanced point of common interests for win-win cooperation in the face of these challenges?
First of all, I think that those issues now raised by European Union side in the name of mutual perception and de-risking and or even decrease its dependence on outside, to a large degree, most of them are common challenges for both China and the EU. Now we are living in a world full of changes and also uncertainties. So I think it's not just a European issue, and also for China, it's also a concern how to find out a balance between development and the security concerns. But now I think the question for Europe, it should take China as a partner to deal with all of this common challenge, not target China as a rival or as a problem. So I think now if we look at this, especially recent years, once there are some more concerns from European side on the issue with China, like de-risking or negative perception, it productive so many barriers for this bilateral cooperation. But if we change the logic, especially from European side, to look China as a partner to deal with all of this issue, like for example, so-called overcapacity of production, or how to look China as a benign and responsible bigger players for the world, I think there will be more space and also even potential for both sides to deal with this common challenges.
Yes, I agree with you that sometimes EU should change its perception about China. And let's shift the topic a little bit to the factor of the United States. We know that the transatlantic alliance between Europe and the US is already facing challenges with the Trump administration's policy changes. And Europe has already begun to rethink its relationship with the US. What changes do you think will take place in the EU's policy towards the US, and how will this affect China-EU relations?
Even we are moving the issue from China-EU relations to Europe and the United States relations, but I don't think we moved too far, because now it's a very important characteristic for this emerging multipolar world. It's difficult for us just to look at China and Europe relations in a bilateral framework. We have to take care of other important bilateral relations. For example, I think it's always a concern from the European side on Chinese policy towards Europe. Between the concern from China on its relations with the United States and Europe, which one is top priority and which one is a part of another? We get some suspicions from the European side always said that China take the more advantage on its relations with the United States than its concern about Europe. To a large degree, I think it's the same year for both China and Europe. We do have a different policy priority to deal with relations with major players in the world. But also at the same time, I think that China also try to look for this balance point on its policy concerns on both United States and Europe. Certainly, now because of so-called Trump administration 2.0, I think China concerned what happened for this transatlantic relations. If we look at there are some more open and also drastic debate between Europe and the United States on security concern, on economic relations, and even now political debates. But I think that for Chinese understanding that these relations, I mean, between Europe and the United States, it is consequences of the current change for world order. I think now it's time for European side to give the answer for the question is, once there is an emerging multipolar world, European side will try to be part of the so-called transatlantic alliance to be one of the polar, or just for European side to continue its effort to have this strategic autonomy, which means that European country and the European Union could develop into an independent polar in the so-called multipolar world. It's in a critical time for European side to look for any kind of a rational approach to deal with this more and more complicated relations with the United States. Generally, I think in another 4 or 5 years, especially under Trump administration, European side will try to find out a way to have its resilience in the relations with the United States, which means that to keep its survival as an alliance. But at the same time, I think European side is trying to do everything to make the efforts to prepare for any worst situation, because so far the big uncertainties still the biggest challenge, I mean, from Washington for Europe, not only for its security, its economic interests, and also for its position in this new world order.
Yes, right. And one of the features of the second Trump administration's policy is the so-called global tariff war. So facing the global reciprocal tariffs of the US, China and Europe have recently expressed support for restarting the China-EU trade remedy dialogue mechanism. How do you think the US tariff policy will influence China-EU cooperation, and how will China-US-EU economic and trade relations change?
No matter what happens for the long term, I mean, the relations between China, Europe, and the United States, on this moment, I think the major problem or common challenge for both China and Europe is how could we deal with the pressure of tariffs from Washington towards not only for China and Europe, and also for the world as a whole. I think now it's time for both China and Europe to find out important, understanding that which kind of arrangement for trade, for investment, for industry will be in the interest for both China and Europe. The question is, if it's possible for both China and Europe, we can try support this multilateral arrangement in the frame of WTO or some other. Because, as we know, these tariff issues from Washington towards both China and Europe certainly is a big challenge towards this multilateral arrangement. Secondly, I think that it will provide a stimulation for both China and Europe to look for some common solution. I think, firstly, both two sides need to avoid any damage from this tariff measures from Washington. And secondly, for both China and Europe, we need to try to find out some more opportunity in some other markets, just like the European Union stressed recently, say that there is just 15% of the world market once you will have business with the United States. But you should look at other more than 85% of world market volume. So I think for both China and Europe, we need to share this kind of a common understanding is how could we expand our space, how could we explore other markets in the wake of tariff pressures from Washington. But of course, I think even we can share some more and more common grounds, I think now the most important thing is we need to deal with some very, very practical issue like EVs or some other trade frictions, because I think, for example, now we find out some progress made by both two sides to have more negotiation and communication. I think it could give some more positive message for both two sides, and it will promote the mutual trust for both sides to strengthen its partnership by more communication and even negotiation.
Right. Okay. That's again focus on EU itself. We know in recent years, the EU is undergoing a multifaceted internal transition in economic, political, security, and green areas. So how do you see the challenges and difficulties of the current internal transition affecting the openness and strategic autonomy of the EU? And what are the possible implications for China-EU relations?
It's clear that now the European Union is experiencing comprehensive transition process recent years. I think one of the most important issue for European Union is how to make a balance between, as we mentioned, the development concerns and the security demand. On this regard, we can find out at the very beginning, European Union side should a little bit hesitant to keep the balance. Even recent years, we can find out the criticisms inside and outside of the European Union on this institution that securitization or over-regulation on business or some other. Fortunately, I think in the last 2 years, it looks like the European Union find out some limitation and even some negative effect of its securitization process. So it's trying to find out a rebalance for its policy or measures. So how to deal with this relations between openness and the strategic autonomy? I think it's a very, very big showcase for this hesitant and for this rebalance of policy within the European Union. How about its impact, for this imbalance and rebalance between so-called openness and the strategic autonomy? I think firstly, just like we mentioned, that both China and the EU wish you'd have some more talk, communication about the big concern for both two sides. Because we do share so big common interests. So on the other side, we also are facing a big security challenge at the same time. So I don't think that it's a rational way for European side to say that, okay, we just want to share the common interests with China, but we don't want to share the common responsibility with China in security areas. So I think now it's time for both China and the European Union to sit down and to have a frankly communication with each other, and then to make clear which kind of issues could be in a bilateral frame. Another maybe could, for both China and the European Union, we can find out a common solution, even we can have some more contribution for the international community to find out some solutions.
Right. My final question is still on China-EU relations. On the occasion of the 50th anniversary of diplomatic ties between China and the EU, the two parties have already released many positive signals. So what do you think China and the EU should do to maintain the good momentum and expand or deepen the ongoing cooperation in the relevant area? So do you have any points to add?
Frankly, 50 years, as we know, according to Chinese culture, is very, very important for people, for its life. I think even we try to find out some similar understanding, we are talking about a 50th anniversary for China and the EU relations. I think now it's time for both China and the EU, we should have some more consensus and to take some more useful experiences and even lessons from our history. Another, I think, important thing is we need to keep balance, of course, in a joint effort to make the balance between development and the security concerns. So what do we need to do in a more pragmatic way? I think, firstly, we need to deal with some existed problems. For example, we should accelerate the negotiation between two sides on the EVs or some other trade frictions. And then we need to have some more encouragement to open some new area for cooperation. For example, now for both China and the European Union, we have this high-level exchange on both digital transition and also green transition. So how could we find out this comprehensive and also coherent cooperation in these emerging areas? We should not just have a common ground. We should have also the common solutions. And also another, I think, important thing is it's time for both China and the European Union. We should confirm that these relations, yes, we are living in a more complicated situation because of the big change of the world. But we should find some more dynamic for both sides. We should try to find out a more solution to deal with any influence from outside. No matter what happened for the relations between China, Europe, and the United States, even between China and Russia, I think that we should find out the right way and also the continuing approach for both sides to look for some more common interests and then to develop some more achievements.
Okay, thank you very much, Professor Cui, for sharing your views with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That was Professor Cui Hongjian offering his perspective on the 50-year diplomatic journey between China and Europe, from its historical foundations to future pathways for collaboration in an era of complex geopolitical dynamics. Thank you for listening. Please stay tuned for more insights on the Point series.